Red Babylon in Jeremiah 50 and 51. This is part 6, and God willing, we will finish with our study. Last time we were reading in Jeremiah 49, which is not about Babylon, but which is about Esau, Edom, and its destruction, and we saw part of the parallels which make Esau, Edom identical to Babylon in the next two chapters. We'll continue reading in Jeremiah 49, beginning in verse 7. Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? This is about the destruction of Esau, Edom, and it begins with what I think is the key. They will lose their wisdom. They will do stupid and foolish things, which will destroy them. We finished last time in verse 13, and we'll go on from there. For I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord, that Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual waste. And I'll give you the verses in Jeremiah 50, which say almost the same thing about Babylon. It happens to be Jeremiah 50, verse 13, that Babylon would be wholly desolate. 49 verses 14 and 15, I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together, and come against her, and rise up to the battle. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen, and despised among men. And that word heathen is translated from the Hebrew word that is generally translated nation. I will make thee small among the nations. And that is identical to verse 1 and 2 of Obadiah. Verse 16, thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. So again, there's something in Edom that will deceive Edom. His terribleness and his pride will deceive him. Verse 17, also Edom shall be a desolation, every one that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. That's the same as Babylon in Jeremiah 50, verse 13. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. The same thing is said of Babylon in Jeremiah 50, verse 40. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong, but I will suddenly make him run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that shall stand before me? This is said of Esau, Edom. It is also said of Babylon in Jeremiah 50 and verse 44. And all of this, as I am showing here, is about seemingly two unrelated peoples, and yet the prophecies are identical, and that old theorem that things equal to the same thing are equal to each other would make Esau, Edom the same thing as Babylon. And by the way, I should interject here. There are those in the identity movement who insist the Jews of today are descendants of Satan who seduced Eve, and that Cain was born of that union, and they say these people are descendants of Cain. Now, it is probably true that the Canaanites are descendants of Cain, and Esau married Canaanite wives, according to Genesis 36. However, the doctrine that the people known as Jews are descendants of Satan rather than of Esau prevents you from seeing the significance of this parallel between Esau, Edom in the prophecies and prophetic Babylon in the prophecies. The battle outlined here in the Bible and which we see raging across the earth is over the Abrahamic birthright, which Esau sold to Jacob and now fights to get back. It is not a battle between the children of Satan and the sons of God, as some would have you believe. In fact, that doctrine actually makes all of these passages in Jeremiah, Obadiah, and Revelation that we've been reading meaningless, and we might as well throw them away. Let's go on, for I believe that we will see that the wisdom being destroyed out of Esau, Edom is that which will eventually destroy Esau, Edom, and then their system, which is called Babylon. Jeremiah 49:20, Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. And we covered this in Jeremiah 50 and verse 45, which is the same prophecy about Babylon. And I believe it means the least of the Christian flock will draw out Esau, Edom. That is why I do not place any great store in these great so-called Christian revival movements, such as headed up by Jerry Falwell, Billy Graham, Bill Bright, and the rest of them. Because though they proclaim Jesus Christ, they do not reveal the prophecies about Esau, Edom. Therefore, they cannot be the ones who will expose Esau, Edom. In fact, they actually protect Esau, Edom with all of their writings and speaking. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall, at the cry, the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea, which is the same as Jeremiah 50 and verse 46, as we read of the end of Babylon, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. Then the last verse about Edom, verse 22 of Jeremiah 49, behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle, and spread his wings over Bozrah, and at that day shall the heart of the mighty men of Edom be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. So this tells us that Edom will be weak and unable to defend itself when God brings about its destruction. If you'll turn to Jeremiah 50, verse 43, we read this of Babylon. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as a woman in travail. And verse 30 of Jeremiah 51, the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. So both Esau, Edom, and Babylon will become as women in their ability to defend themselves from this thing, whatever it is, that God is going to raise up to destroy them. Now, in spite of the fact that the United States government intends to draft women into the military, it is true that when you speak of soldiers and call them women, this is meant weakness and inability to defend themselves, because women cannot function as military soldiers, and that's why God uses that term. Now, showing this as their destruction coming from within in a great weakness, then you can understand why we read in Jeremiah 51 and verse 27, set ye up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Minai, and Ashkenaz, appoint a captain against her, cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. And as I said, the Ashkenaz is another biblical name for the people we call Jews. So we have this seeming incongruity here where Ashkenaz is going to fight against Babylon. These are the people inside who will become faint and weary, and they themselves will be instrumental in destroying Babylon. Now let me quote a Jew to help understand this, who admits not only the truth that it was the Jews who originated the Red Revolution called Communism or Bolshevism, but who also control world capitalism, but he says when their system finally reaches its point of destruction, they will move away and let it collapse. And he wrote this in 1920. Listen to what this Jew says about the Jews. In 1920, the English author George Pitt Rivers wrote a booklet entitled The World Significance of the Russian Revolution, published, and it gives a publisher here, Dr. Oscar Levy, a Jew of high standing in English literary circles, wrote for the booklet a preface from which the following are quotations. In other words, a book written showing the Jewish control of the Bolshevik Revolution had a preface written by a Jew. And here's what the Jew says. Quote, Bolshevism is a religion and a faith. How could these half-converted believers dream to vanish the truthful and the faithful of their own creed, these holy crusaders who had gathered around the red standard of the prophet Karl Marx, and who fought under the daring guidance of these experienced officers of all the latter-day revolutions, the Jews. And he goes and talks some more about the Jews as a race, and then says to the author of the book, "You point out, and with fine indignation, the great danger that springs from the prevalence of Jews in finance and industry, and from the preponderance of Jews in rebellion and revolution. You reveal, and with great fervor, the connection between the collectivism of the immensely rich international finance, the democracy of cash values, as you call it, and the international collectivism of Karl Marx and Trotsky, the democracy of and by the decoys. And all this evil and misery, the economic as well as the political, you trace back to one source, to one fons et origo malorum, the Jews. Now, other Jews may vilify and crucify you for these outspoken views of yours. I myself shall abstain from joining the chorus of condemnation. Then, after admitting to some extent this man was right, he says, "You are right. This repulse of yours, which I feel it for certain is at the bottom of your anti-Semitism, is only too well justified." In other words, the Jew is admitting the Gentile who wrote the book was justified in what he was saying about the Jews. And then this Jew speaks of the Jews themselves. And listen to this. "We Jews have erred, my friend. We have most grievously erred. And if here was truth in our error 3,000, 2,000, nay 100 years ago, there is now nothing but falseness and madness, a madness that will produce an even greater misery and an even wider anarchy." Remember, he wrote this in 1920. "I confess it to you openly and sincerely and with a sorrow whose depth and pain an ancient psalmist and only he could moan into this burning universe of ours. We who have posed as the saviors of the world, we who have even boasted of having given it the savior, we are today nothing else but the world's seducers, its destroyers, its incendiaries, its executioners. We who have promised to lead you to a new heaven, we have finally succeeded in landing you into a new hell. There has been no progress, least of all moral progress, and it is just our morality which has prohibited all real progress, and what is worse, which even stands in the way of all future and natural reconstruction in this ruined world of ours. I look at this world and I shudder at its ghastliness. I shudder all the more as I know the spiritual authors of all this ghastliness. But its authors themselves, unconscious in this as in all they are doing, know nothing yet of this startling revelation. While Europe is aflame, while its victims scream, while its dogs howl in the conflagration, and while its very smoke descends in the darker and even darker shades upon our continent, the Jews, or at least a part of them, and by no means the most unworthy ones, endeavor to escape from the burning building and wish to retire from Europe into Asia, from the somber scene of our disaster into the sunny corner of their Palestine. Their eyes are closed to the miseries, their ears are deaf to the moanings, their heart is hardened to the anarchy of Europe. They only feel their own sorrows, they only bewail their own fate, they only sigh under their own burdens." Now that is a Jew speaking of the Jews, and he says, in effect, that when all the world is in flames, and chaos and destruction has come from the Jewish Red Revolution, they themselves will try to walk away and go to Palestine and maybe live the good life there, caring not for what they have done back in civilization, but only trying to get out from under their own troubles and problems. In other words, their mentality is such that it is possible, according to what he said, and according to what I read in the Bible, that at the very moment of their victory, they will turn and walk away from it because they don't want to live with the problems they have created themselves. Now, is it possible that this man, years ago, saw what is the fatal flaw of the Jewish intelligence, that their object and desire is revolution and destruction? Once revolution and destruction is successful, with no more worlds to conquer, they will turn away from the ashes and seek solace in their ancient land of Canaan in Palestine. I cannot know that for certain, but I do know for certain that God wrote that Esau's fight to destroy Jacob would fail at the last moment. Now turn with me to Obadiah and see if this fits. We've already read this. I think we should read it again. Obadiah, beginning in verse 6. How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border, almost to total control. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. The fatal wound is laid by their own confederates, according to God's word. Now this, in effect, is what this Jew wrote back in 1920, that they would bring the world to anarchy, and then, because they couldn't control it, they'd walk away and try to get out from under when it fell. Verse 8, Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. It is interesting that the chairman of the Jewish Defense League, who operates out of Palestine but comes back to America every so often, began to warn the Jews in America about 2 years ago that there would be a rise of anti-Semitism in America so great that the only way the Jews would survive would be if they would go en masse to the land of Palestine. So there is a very influential rabbi, Rabbi Kahin, who is telling the Jews that things are going to get so bad in America, you will have to go to Palestine. This other Jew, over 50 years ago, said that's exactly what they would do. When they had brought the world down around their shoulders, they would try to escape to sunny Palestine. Now God says, these men will be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. And you'll recall, Jesus Christ, while in Palestine, said that there would be a day coming when he would say, bring those that would not that he should rule over them before me and slay them. He was in Palestine when he said it. Is it possible that putting all of these things together, God will so confuse the mind of these Jewish would-be world controllers that they will suddenly, when the world is almost within their grasp, just evacuate and go to Palestine with some dream of saving themselves, and everyone be cut off by slaughter? Now you realize I put the words of a couple Jews and the words of God Almighty together to arrive at a conclusion, but the Bible seems to say that. Something will happen that will make them completely give up their whole drive almost at the border of their control. I won't read all of the rest of Obadiah, but I want to read enough to point out there is one thing here that gives us an identity where we can relate all of Esau, Edom to a specific charge made by God. Babylon is charged with the same thing, and some other people are charged with the same thing. So I want to read that. Verse 10, as he goes on, For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Esau, Edom, is going to be totally destroyed because of his enmity to Jacob Israel. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. In other words, you were one of the enemy. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity, yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape, neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. So here is a charge against Esau, Edom by God, that apparently over a long period of history, Esau, Edom would join with other people to kill the people of Jacob Israel. Now, in the book, The 13th Tribe, a Jew by the name of Kessler tells us that the Jews were with Attila the Hun. when he plundered across southern Europe 1,500 years ago. History also tells us that when Genghis Khan came out of Asia and raped and burned the eastern half of Europe 1,000 years ago, it was the Jews in every city who arose at night, killed the guards, and opened the gates of the city and let in the hordes of Genghis Khan, who then killed the Christian people of the city. Modern communism, under its Jewish leadership, is but a repeat of the Jews directing other aliens to kill the children of Jacob Israel. Just as in America today, many of our people of Jacob Israel are killed by abortion, and if you'll examine the abortionists, you'll find they're 90% Jews, and the people who promote abortion and birth control upon our race are Jews. In other words, Esau, Edom, still killing and directing others to kill the children of Jacob Israel. Now, I think if the true history of the world had been written, we would also find that there were Jewish advisors with the Moors when they conquered the coast of the Mediterranean and put Christian Europe to the sword. That I have not on historical authority, but I would believe it would be true. If God's word in Obadiah is true, that all through history, Esau, Edom has joined with other people to fight, kill, and plunder the children of Jacob Israel. It was Paul who wrote of the Jews in 1 Thessalonians 2:15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Jerry Falwell, who, as you know, is supposedly leading a great revival of Christianity and patriotism in America, says in his Winter of 1980, Faith Aflame magazine, quote, "America will remain important to God only as she commits herself to evangelizing and winning to Christ her own inhabitants, as she continues protecting the Jew, and as she takes the gospel he has given her to the whole world in this generation." Well, I can tell you that Jerry Falwell is only one-third right. America must continue to preach to true Israel in America, but America must not protect the Jew, who is the enemy of America, and America must not spend her time and effort taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the heathen. It is for Israel first. After reading that verse of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians, Jerry Falwell, the other fundamentalist, the Baptist, and Pentecostal friend seemed to find a non-existent rapture in 1 Thessalonians. But they can't seem to find that verse of Scripture about the Jews that says they please not God and are contrary to all men. Anyway, in Obadiah, Esau, Edom, is accused of perpetual war against Jacob Israel. Turn back to Jeremiah again, chapter 50. In verse 11, speaking of the Chaldeans and the Babylonians, "Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage." Now in the Bible, Israel is called the heritage of the Lord. So Babylon is accused of destroying Israel. Jeremiah 51, verse 35, "The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say." God has both Jerusalem and Zion charge Babylon and the Chaldeans with war against them. Then as Babylon's destruction is described, beginning in verse 47, "Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoil shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth." So here again, Babylon is charged with slaying the people of Israel, or the children of Israel. Now turn with me to Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. In Revelation 17, this woman in this vision is given a name in verse 5, mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And John writes of her, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." So John saw this mystery Babylon, responsible for so many deaths of God's people, the followers of Jesus, that she was drunken with their blood. And then when she is finally destroyed, in the last verse, as the world sees what was in mystery Babylon, Revelation 18:24, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." So here in this vision, the angel gives John the understanding that mystery Babylon the Great is the cause of all the violent deaths and wars upon the face of the earth. And the world will see that only after she is destroyed. Now Jesus Christ charged someone else with those crimes. Turn to Matthew 23. Jesus was speaking to some people in ancient Palestine. Verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer." Yes, they make believe they are very religious. "Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." Verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous." In other words, they're accused of killing, being the cause of death of all of these different people. "And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers." He is saying, continue to do what your fathers have been doing, killing the righteous people. "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. And here's the reason, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias and of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar." In other words, he listed all the righteous people who had been slain upon the earth from Abel down to the time he was talking, and he charged it to the Jewish scribes and Pharisees. So we have recorded that Jesus Christ said to the Jewish Pharisees, "I will allow you scribes and Pharisee Jews to kill these, that in the final tallying of sins, you will be found guilty of all righteous blood shed upon the earth." Now, righteous blood could only mean the blood of the believers in the God of the Bible, Yahweh Jesus Christ. What a charge against a people. This is the same charge we read in Revelation 18 of Babylon, and the same charge we read in Obadiah of Esau Edom. Again, things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. The prophecies of the Jews, the prophecies of Esau, Edom, and the prophecies of Babylon all fit. Now what a charge against a people that they are responsible for all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. Or as Dr. Oscar Levy said, "We Jews who have posed as the saviors of the world, we are nothing else but the world's seducers, its destroyers, its incendiaries, its executioners." Fits Bible prophecy, does it not? As final proof that the Babylon of Jeremiah 50 and 51 is the same as mystery Babylon, of Revelation 17 and 18, turn back to Jeremiah 51, beginning in verse 60. "So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sarai, when thou comest to Babylon, and shalt see, and shall read all these words. Now think about this. He was to go to Babylon and read these words to Babylon. Then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it, and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And thou shalt say, Thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Turn to Revelation 18 again. The end of mystery Babylon is described on this wise. Verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. Yes, that is the Red Babylon of Jeremiah 50 and 51, the same Red Babylon which is conquering the earth and warring against Jacob Israel. The same Red Babylon invented, operated, and used by the Jewish scribes and Pharisees from ancient times right on down to now in their war against Jacob Israel. How about Esau? Turn to Obadiah again. In verse 18, And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. Verse 21, And Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord. Some have asked, what about resurrection and restitution? What about the Edomite Jews, these enemies of Israel, where it says here they shall be cut off forever? Will they be in the resurrection? And I think it's a valid question for those of us who teach resurrection and restoration to find out. Turn with me to the letter of Jude, which is the first one before the book of Revelation. Jude is writing of enemies of Israel. And he says this, beginning in verse 10, But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but they know naturally, as brute beasts in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. If you don't know what all of those are, Cain killed righteous Abel, which was their way, they killed the righteous. They ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Balaam was the one who caused Israel to intermarry with non-Israelites. In other words, integration and racial intermarriage. And they perished in the gainsaying of Korah, which is Korah, the one who led the rebellion against Moses and God's law. And these same Jewish people are the ones who lead all the rebellion against the Bible, prayer, and so on, and Christianity in the nations in which they are. Verse 12, These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Turn to 2 Peter, just a few pages back. 2 Peter 2, beginning in verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government or rulership. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken their right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. In other words, he's again identifying the same people as Jude did. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Now, if you'll read Job and some of the other books in the Psalms, you find that death is called the mist of darkness, to whom is reserved the mist of darkness forever. Now turn back to Isaiah 26. The prophet writes, beginning in verse 9, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Now think of what he's saying. He is telling us there's some future day when God's judgments, God's laws, statutes, and judgments are in the earth, then the world will learn righteousness. But he goes on, "Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them." These people who will not see will be devoured. "Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name." Other lords have had dominion over Israel. Now the only people who have ever had dominion over Israel are the people of Esau Edom. Whenever Israel has been captured, you can find Esau Edom in among the enemies who have captured them. So he's saying, other lords beside thee, beside God, have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. In other words, there are people upon the face of the earth, the enemies of Israel, who are prophesied in the Scripture as twice dead, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And here in Isaiah, it speaks of those enemies who have ruled over Israel, they shall never live again. Now turn to Jeremiah 51. "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind." Now I do not know exactly what that destroying wind will be, but I believe we can already see it being raised up to fulfill those things which have been written by God Almighty of the destruction of the enemies of Israel. Total, absolute, permanent destruction of Israel. The Red Babylon will be destroyed along with its perpetrators because of its enmity against God's Jacob Israel people whom he has chosen for himself. "And all Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation, and the kingdom shall be the Lord." Praise God, and speed the day when Israel shall be released and Christ's kingdom shall come over all Israel and the earth. Let's stand.
Our Father, the God of Israel, we thank you
for thy word of deliverance, that Jacob Israel, in spite of our many sins, will be delivered from our enemies and delivered into thy kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for thy own shed blood, which has sealed us to thee in a great and wonderful covenant, has covered our sins, and we may stand before thee in that great day. We thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen.